The World Tomorrow. At the same time every Sunday, Herbert W. Armstrong analyzes today's news with the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. Why do most scientists, most highly educated people, reject fundamental Christianity? Is Christianity just a superstition? Is the Bible a rational book, or is it only one of the a book of superstitious folklore, the religious writings and the history of one small, despised race, seeking, like other peoples, their peculiar concepts of God and a sentimental philosophy of life? To answer that question, let me ask, why do those of professed Christianity today teach doctrines diametrically contrary to those of Jesus? Jesus, who is called the founder of the Christian religion. Why do they teach doctrines diametrically contrary to those doctrines which he taught his disciples? Doctrines exactly opposite from those taught by the original, pure, and true church. When Jesus was asked how to be saved, how to gain eternal life, he said, "Keep the commandments," referring to the ten. The Apostle John, under inspiration, wrote, as we find recorded in 1 John, the second chapter, and the second on to, or the third and the fourth verses, "And hereby do we know that we know him," that is, God Almighty the Father, "if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." But in the professing Christian churches today, they teach that the Ten Commandments are abolished, that we do not have to obey, only to believe in Christ, but no works, no obedience, no doing of any kind. They say that we have grace, but no law today. And so this question of law and grace has become the basic, pivotal, disputed point of doctrine in what is supposed to be Christianity today. It is the very crux question of all in this modern Christianity. Now, a week ago on this program, I began an explanation of this question of law and grace. It's a question that has been an enigma, a puzzle, to a good many thousands of you people. It's about time that this thing was explained. So now, let's see if we can finish this question and make it so plain that a little child could understand. As I showed you a week ago, those who say that God's law is done away quote certain verses or parts of Bible verses. For instance, let me just repeat a couple of them. I gave you quite a string of them a week ago. But in Romans 3, verse 20, they'll quote the first part of the verse where it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And there, they say, you can't get saved by the law, so you should not keep the law. And then again, the other really prized quotation is this one in Galatians, the third chapter and the tenth verse. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all of the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." And there they say, that shows you if you're going to keep the Ten Commandments, if you're going to obey the law, why, you're under a curse. Law is an evil thing. Law isn't good. We don't want to keep any laws. We don't want law. We just want grace. But we don't want any law. That is the position of most churchmen and most of the professing Christians of this day and this age. But then, on the other hand, there are two sides to most questions, and as I brought out a week ago, I gave you a string of passages on the other side of the fence that appear to say exactly the opposite. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, Jesus said that the way of salvation is to keep the commandments. You'll find that back in the 19th chapter of Matthew. And then the Apostle Paul was inspired to say, as we read in Romans 2:13. Romans, the second chapter and the 13th verse, "Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." The same Paul in the same letter to those at Rome who said that we are not justified by the deeds of the law, or that is, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. J- just prior to that, in this same identical letter to the same people, the same writer, under the same inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, had said, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, how are you going to explain that? Then in the third chapter, in the 31st verse, just below the 20th verse that I read a while ago, Paul, after saying that no one is justified by the law, continues here to ask this question. Do we then make void the law through faith? In other words, does our faith abolish the law, make it null and void, do away with it? And he answers, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. God forbid we establish the law by our faith. Then again, in the 4th chapter of Romans and the 15th verse, where no law is, there is no transgression. There can't be any sin, there can't be any transgression unless there is law. Now that is in the same letter by the same author. Now do we then have a contradiction? Does the Bible contradict itself? Absolutely not. Now a week ago I had gotten far enough to explain this first passage that I quoted in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and the 20th verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And in the latter part of this verse, which they usually fail to quote, it explains why. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, Paul says over here in the 7th chapter of Romans and the 7th verse, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. You know, I think a lot of people today, a lot of preachers and a lot of church members today believe that the law is a terrible thing. They think the law is sin. Why, they present the law as being an awful thing, a terrible thing. We don't want law. No, we just want grace. Well, Paul says, is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, the law that said that is the Ten Commandments. That is the tenth of the Ten Commandments. And so the last of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. And Paul would not have known that it was wrong to lust for things, to have an inordinate desire to possess things, and a great many people don't know that. He would not have known it if the law had not said so, if the law had not explained and told him. Now, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, we learned over here in 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. If you sin, you're transgressing the law. Why? For sin is the transgression of the law. That is God's definition of sin. Sin is not the transgression of your conscience. Sin is not doing what you think is wrong. Sin is not doing what your church board says is wrong. Sin is not doing what men have been teaching is wrong, or that which may violate a human conscience. But sin is the transgression of the law. Now I'll get back to this again in Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. No flesh shall be justified by the law, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law defines what sin is. You wouldn't know what sin is except by the law, because sin is the transgression of the law, and the law tells you what sin is. Now, the purpose of the law is not to make you righteous. The purpose of the law is not to justify you of past deeds, but to point out to you what is wrong and what you must not do and what you must do. Its purpose is to show you the way of life and to show you where you are doing wrong. Now, once again, let's get this 20th verse. The word justified is the key word, and justified does not mean given future salvation. Justified has nothing to do, the word justified does not refer to the future, it does not refer to the gift of eternal life or to future salvation, it refers to past guilt. The word justified means having your past guilt straightened up or wiped out or atoned for, made right or paid, the penalty of it paid. Now, the sin is the transgression of the law, but we also read that Paul, this same Paul, tells us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin is the transgression of the law. Now, if you transgress the law, the wages you earn by that transgression, in other words, the penalty that is falling upon you and coming over your head, is death. Not eternal life in hellfire, but death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that is God's gift. You don't have eternal life unless and except you receive it as the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the penalty of breaking God's law is death. Now, death is the penalty. Whenever we have broken the law, the penalty hangs over us. How are you going to get out from under it? You're under the law. How are you going to get out from under that law? The penalty is death, and it hangs over you. The law then owns you. It claims your life. How can you get justified of that sin you did yesterday? By keeping the law today? Oh, no. If you keep the law today, that is just exactly what is required of you for today. You can't more than keep it today. You can only just keep it, that's all. And that is required of you. And that will not make up for your transgression of yesterday or last year. So, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, keeping the law now that you have come to your senses, now that you have repented, your keeping of the law today is only what's required of you today. It will not justify you. It will not wipe out the penalty that hangs over you from what you did yesterday, last week, last year, and in years gone by. Only the blood of Christ can do that. Now, I explained to you a week ago, you remember, how over here in James, the first chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse, we read that if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and you'll find that the word of God is synonymous with the law of God nearly all the way through the Bible. A doer of the law, you could say, or a doer of the word, they are interchangeably used. Be a hearer then and not a doer, and remember that Paul said it is the doers of the law that shall be justified. Now, if any be a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He sees himself in a looking glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of a man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, there is God's spiritual mirror. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice, he being a doer. They tell you today there's no doing. They tell you today that there are no works, just an empty faith, just believing in some historic facts of fundamentalism. Now, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, not just a forgetful believer, not a non-doing believer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But if he does not, he is committing sin and is convicted of the law as a transgressor. You read that down here a little further in the second chapter. And if we fulfill the royal law, we do well. The law that says thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you break it, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as a transgressor, because sin is the transgression of the law, and the penalty of transgressing the law is death. For James continues, whosoever shall keep the whole law, that is, loving your neighbor, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, there is the one general law is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Or the first great point of that is loving God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and so on. But the law has points. If you keep the whole law and yet you offend in one point, one detail, you are guilty of all. For he that said, or that law that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. It doesn't make any difference which point you break. If you keep 9 points of the law, but break some tenth that you think is not important, you are become a transgressor of the law. And you are convicted of that transgression, and the penalty is death, eternal death, the second death, from which there shall never be a resurrection. That punishment is death, and that punishment is for all eternity. It is eternal punishment, not eternal punishing. But it certainly is eternal punishment. The punishment is death. Now, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by being good today, by keeping the law today, you can't justify the transgression of yesterday. Why? Because the purpose of the law is to show you the knowledge of sin. Now, it's like the looking glasses I explained that women carry in their purses. they steal a little glance at their faces in their mirrors, and they see some dirt around on a corner of the face that they could not see until they looked into the mirror.